Today is Transfiguration Sunday. And if you've got in your mind an idea of some sort of like a Transformers type of situation, okay, you're close, but you're not close. And you're definitely in my age range, if you're thinking about that. Now, when I started thinking about Transfiguration Sunday, it was while walking Barb to school. I had my podcast in my ear, and I'm walking along, and they're talking about transfiguration and what it means. And one of the ministers on the podcast set me off a little bit. He called it a transition Sunday, a transition point. And I was like, but it's not just that. You're underselling it. But he later said, I really don't like Transfiguration Sunday. It's just a bump in the road, a speed bump. And boy, did I kind of go off about that. But to some extent, it is about transitioning, but it's not all that it's about. Today is, yes, a transition. It marks the end of Epiphany, the start of Lent. Tuesday, we're going to eat all the punchkis we can afford or our stomachs can handle. Or maybe other rich foods we will take on. And then Wednesday, we set off on our journey of trying to get closer to God. But it's not a throwaway day today. It's not one that we simply come to and then we're like Kermit and Fozzie saying, moving right along. It's one of those pieces that, yes, it's a weird moment. Jesus goes up on the mountain. Jesus converses with God and shines as bright as the sun. But it's also a scene that we need to remember. Because this is one of those moments that tells us about God's plan and God's relationship. On the one hand, we look and yes, this moves things for Jesus. Up to this point, he's been building up his followers, building up the body of believers. He's called the disciples. He's worked in a particular area in Galilee. And after this, his head turns. His purpose shifts. He's now looking towards Jerusalem. All that he does is building towards that moment in the upper room, that moment when he walks through town bearing a cross, when the Romans nail him to the tree, it all builds to that moment. And in some ways, we see just before this some of the challenge that Jesus is going to have to work through as his face turns to Jerusalem. Now, transfiguration, as defined by Merriam-Webster, is a change in form or appearance or an exalting, glorifying, or a spiritual change. I think we can say we checked the box there. And all of that does make sense because here is Jesus with a select group of disciples going up the mountain and being exalted and glorified. Even in this moment, we see a glimmer of a shout-out to when Moses went up on the mountain and talked face-to-face with God. When Moses did that, he didn't shine, just his face did. And then he wore a veil. Some scholars say that he wore it because nobody wanted to see the glory of God fade from his face. Others say it's because when you shine as brightly as the glory of God, you're going to scare people. The reality is, it's kind of both and, I think. But as they're sitting there, as Jesus is talking with Moses and Elijah, there's this cloud that comes. And the cloud is the glory of God. And it seems like a devouring fire. It's not a ho-hum moment. And so as we look at Jesus, what is happening in this moment? What is God telling us or talking to us about this moment? It's about how God isn't doing things normal. God is bringing the two patriarchs, the law and the prophets, to meet with Jesus. Now, Peter acts like most of us would, right? Peter gets excited. He's like, Jesus, I got an idea. And we all imagine Jesus' response, okay, Peter, what is it this time? And Peter wants to build these dwellings. He wants to do this because he sees how momentous this time is. But then comes the booming voice of God. This is my son, the beloved. I am well pleased with him. But then comes the last part. Listen to him. I mean, think about the historical moment that this is. Jesus goes up to the mountain. He shines brightly. God speaks. It's weird. It's amazing. It's awe-inspiring. It's not to be undersold. And there are callbacks across Scripture to this moment. Think about what God says and where you've heard that before. What did God say at the baptism as Jesus came out of the waters? This is my son, the beloved. In him I am well pleased. In this moment, throughout all of this, we wonder what is happening and why does God say this? To whom is God speaking here? Now, when we look at the law and the prophets, is God saying something in having them there? The answer here of what God is doing deals with the relationship between the Father and the Son. It might seem that Jesus plows ahead every moment and every day with complete certainty that he is doing what his Father has commanded. But we have also seen the lack of certainty about God's plan from the disciples. There's more work to be done. There's more learning to happen. When Jesus tells the disciples, "Who am I?" when he asks them, what is Peter's response? "You are the Christ." And then not a bit hits next. And then Peter is trying to rebuke Jesus because Jesus says, "What will happen next?" And Jesus' rebuke of Peter comes where he tells them to get behind him, Satan. It shows us how difficult that trip towards Jerusalem is going to be for Jesus. Getting his disciples on the same page, getting them ready for the cross and the resurrection. The baptism speaks about God confirming for Christ and John who Christ is, confirming in that moment. But here, it's a confirmer for the disciples. Because in that moment, you hear Peter say, "But I know better, Jesus." And here, God is affirming, "Listen to him. Listen to him, Peter. Do what he tells you. Don't rebuke him or question him. His authority is from me." But God isn't just done there. Now, God tells the disciples to listen, and Peter Cook has this interesting idea right before. Peter recognizes the momentousness of this time. He gets it, but he's exuberant. Now, it wouldn't have been weird for Peter's idea to happen. Throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, when God has a moment with people, with humanity, erecting an altar literally was the thing to do. When Jacob encounters God, what does he do when he wrestles with God? He builds an altar. When David has an encounter with God, he builds an altar. You encounter God, you build an altar. But here's the deal, and here's why Jesus really needs to move past that altar building period. Because so often, if you gave the people of God an opportunity to make an idol out of something, they would, they do, and they sure can. You give them a golden calf to symbolize God. And what are they doing? They're worshiping the calf as a calf. You give them high places or altars in the mountains because it's closer to home, so you don't have to just go down to Jerusalem. And what do? They create alternate gods to worship through those. You give the people of God the chance to worship something that isn't God, and it sure seems like they take every opportunity to do it. And so while Peter is very much exuberant in his desire for this to be special, to be a special place, the challenge here is, what would the people do to those three dwellings? Would they turn it into their own little kingdom, their own little worship space, their own little idol? If the Pharisees could turn the law of God into something that wasn't of God and worship the law more than they worship God, three dwellings representing Jesus, Elijah, and Moses, don't you think those could be idols? But the other piece of the mountain is safe. You're up on the mountain. You've got Elijah, you've got Moses, you've got God and Jesus. What more do you need on the mountain? If you're Peter and the disciples, what does coming down the mountain mean for you? It means that everything Jesus is talking about is going to happen. The loss, the cross, all of that is going to happen. And if Peter, in his consciousness, can think of a reason to stay on the mountain and keep that from happening, don't you think he would? Do you think he wants to lose his Lord, his friend? No. No. The mountain is this safe space for the disciples. This transition is not one that they welcome. It's not one that they really want. But it's one that's necessary for the world. God doesn't call us to comfort. He calls us to discomfort and service. The disciples, when they go down the mountain, they sure have an inkling of what's going to happen, but they don't have any idea of what all will happen. They know that on the mountain, there is God, the patriarchs, and Jesus. And that's comfortable and that's safe. But the challenge is, God is calling them down the mountain. God is calling them to embrace this transfiguration, this embrace this transformation. Their faith, their world is shifting underneath them as they come down the mountain. And it's not the rocks that are falling beneath their feet. They are being pushed beyond a space of safety and security, beyond what they thought they were doing. And so that leads us to two questions today. The first question is, will we let God transform us? Transform our faith as God did the faith of the disciples on the mountain? Will we embrace the transformation that God tries to work in our lives? The changes God shifts within us? Or will we seek to stick it out and stay comfortable? Will we embrace comfort over the call? But the second question is, are we willing to come down the mountain? Are we willing to go down the mountain past what is safe and normal, what feels really good in the moment, but not what we are called to do? One more question. Are we even willing to go up the mountain to meet with God, to meet with that transfiguration that is going to happen in our lives? Will we shine brightly like the sun, like Jesus? No. But will God transform each and every one of us through his word, through his guidance in our lives? Yeah. You cannot encounter the gospel without being changed by it. You cannot encounter God without being transformed. But will you embrace being changed by it? Will you embrace the discomfort of that change? So brothers and sisters, will we embrace the unknown, the call from God? And will we let our Lord transform us through his word? Amen. And now, brothers and